Taylor Swift is an entertainment juggernaut. She's become one of the best-selling musical artists of all time, with her Eras Tour grossing more than $2 billion. During that tour, Swift surprised her audience each night with costume changes to mark different eras of her career. Now a couple of researchers have figured out how to predict what costume Swift would wear, when, and if these outfit colors were related to sentiment of songs being performed and more. Predicting colors of Swift's era tour is the focus of this episode of Stats and Stories, where we just explore the statistics behind the stories and the stories behind the statistics. I'm John Baylor. Stats and Stories is a production of the American Statistical Association in partnership with Miami University's Departments of Statistics and Media Journalism and Film. Rosemary Pennington is away. We have two guests joining us on today's show. Marina Ferrari de Aquino Clem is an associate curator at the Auckland War Memorial Museum. She can be found listening to Taylor Swift while she's on marine expeditions throughout the South Pacific, cataloging museum specimens or analyzing all sorts of biodiversity data. Charlotte Jones Todd is a senior lecturer at the University of Auckland, New Zealand. She spends her time teaching statistics, coding and then fixing bugs, pandering to her pets and baking bread. Marina and Charlotte are the authors of a recent significance article, We Were in Screaming Color, Colors of the Taylor Swift Universe, a Statistical Story. Thank you both for being here. You know, when I'm thinking about Markov chains, correspondence analysis, tests of independence with categorical data, I immediately think about Taylor Swift.
I mean, good. You have to, right? There's no other thing to think about.
Yeah, I mean, where else would you start? I gotta start with finding out what led you to think about colors of outfits and questions that might be related to this performer's wearing of those and when she wore them.
I'm gonna pass this over to Marina because she's the brains behind all of this.
Well, Taylor Swift is my favorite thing to talk about. So I'm so happy you're asking me this question. I've always been a fan of Taylor Swift since I was maybe 13 years old. And she always had put hints into her songs, into her lyric book. It started with her lyric book. So that was in 2009. She would put some capitalized letters in between her lyrics, and that will form a secret message that fans would just be circling. That was me in Brazil. I didn't have access to the lyrics books because she was not popular then, so I always have to download it, print it, and then circle so I could have the experience. But so that started way back. So we Taylor Swift fans, Swifties, we have this fame for trying to find hidden messages everywhere. And then it's just part, that's how she raised us. You know, she did it to us. This detective board with lines connecting things and hints that she drops in music videos and everything. So I thought it was just natural that she would do that on the Eras Tour too, that she would be putting these hints into things. And I particularly thought about the colors of the outfits for the surprise song set, because this mammoth tour that has 189 concerts throughout a few years, she always did the same performance. It was always the same songs in the same order. And the only thing that was very truly special in every concert was the surprise song set that was very different, because it was an acoustic set. It was not the songs that she was playing every single day. It was a randomly selected two songs that she would sing, one on the guitar, one on the piano. And she would come with a different color of outfit every single time. And that was the one thing that everyone would say, oh my God, I went to night two in Melbourne and she was wearing this dress and she sang this song and a mix of them. And so that was part of why I thought, how does she choose the songs? I couldn't find any link between the songs that she was choosing, but the dresses are way easier to sample and to analyze, because it's only, I think, was 12 dresses throughout the whole series of concerts. So that's kind of how the question began.
And I think whenever you think something's random, right, we're humans, we love to be like, is there a pattern? I think there's a pattern. Let's see if we can quantify the pattern.
Yeah, so you end up capturing this in this significance article, you know, We Were in Screaming Color, The Colors of Taylor Swift's Universe, A Statistical Story. And you know, the first part of the article is talking about the outfit that's being worn in the secret song One Night and whether or not it was associated at all with the outfit that was worn the previous night during the secret song set. Say that fast 5 times. My question is, you were using tools like Markov chains to do this. Can you give kind of a nice lay explanation of what a Markov chain would consider in this situation?
Oh yeah, way to put us on the spot. So I like to think about it in terms of imagine Swift trying to choose her outfits, and imagine that there's like a nice wardrobe with a big kind of rail with everything ordered, all beautifully in order. And then the second option, I guess, would be you've just got a pile of clothes on the floor, which is probably more like how I get dressed in the morning. You're just grabbing what's kind of clean. And so I think the difference, or looking at it like that, is it is you going to are you going to the ordered rail of clothes and picking out your blue dress and then saying, okay, well, I wore my blue dress yesterday, so today is my purple dress. And then we can kind of compare that to what we're good at quantifying, and what computers are really good at quantifying is what happens at random. So what happens when we just chuck all of our clothes on the floor and just pick things up without any thought about what we're doing. So I think that the idea of these Markov chains is a fancy stats way of basically saying, are these things in order? Are we nicely hung up all of our clothes and we're picking them up in order, and so it's kind of a little bit more deterministic, or are we just picking them up at random? And so by comparing those two, you can kind of get a feeling for whether Taylor Swift was an ordered girly or not.
Okay, so if you knew what she was wearing last night, did it give you any information about what she might be wearing tonight in terms of the surprise secret set? What did you find?
It didn't matter for, so we separated the tour into 3 legs. There was the first leg, which was the US, Oceania, the South America, and the middle leg, which is Europe, and the last leg, where she came back to North America, and she did US and Canada. And we found that for the first and the last legs, it was random. We couldn't find an order for where she chose it to wear. But we found that for the European leg, there was a clear sequence of colors that she was purposely choosing. And we don't really know why. Maybe she found a better dress, dry cleaner in Europe, or maybe in Europe was when she debuted another part of the tour, which was the Tour to Port Ports Department album. It was a whole new set of songs, a whole new part of the tour she added. So maybe, and she debuted new colors of dresses too. So I wonder if that's everything was so planned, and she had a good break in between the legs, and there was the time that they thought, okay, we are gonna plan this to the color of the dresses. We're gonna follow a Markov chain. I think that's what her team said.
I think she literally was like, yeah, we're gonna do a first order Markov chain, and that's how I'm gonna wear my dresses.
I would love to have validation of this. I want to hear from her. I want to hear from her people. Have her people call our people just to let us know. This is this was great fun. So how did you get the data for this? I mean, how did you find this out?
Dedication. When the Eras Tour started, I had just finished my PhD and I was just looking for a job. So I had the perfect, it was a perfect storm of free time. It's easy to make an Excel spreadsheet, and that's how I just started computing the what color of dress she wore, what song she sang, and it just kind of went from there.
Well, it certainly generates more hypotheses for you, just to try to think, well, gee, what's different about that middle leg? You started to hint at some of the things that might have changed, and why was it not for the first part or the last part of this show? Do you have other thoughts about what was different?
She was also recording another album. She was recording her last album. She was doing a lot of things. So maybe it was a different person that was choosing her outfit, because she was busy recording, finishing the concerts and still going to the studio. It's a 3 hour and a half concert, and she was still going to studio recording a whole new set of songs, flying to Sweden all the time. So maybe that's what happened. Maybe there was another person taking care of the dresses for her.
I think she just had a nice tidy wardrobe, and that was the Europeans obviously have good wardrobes, right?
A pocket closet, yeah.
I found myself thinking, gosh, I wonder how temperature and humidity affects this. Was the weather in which it was being performed? What are there other covariates? This is the pathology of thinking about this analytically. You can start thinking about what else would be introducing that you might introduce that might drive these probabilities of wearing this color given you wore the color the night before. But we don't need to go there. That's you did a lot of work, and I'm not trying to assign extra. But you didn't stop with one question. I mean, you all were not going to be done with colors with just one bite at that apple. So you also were thinking about kind of color and sentiment. Can you talk a little bit about, you're looking at lyrics, how do you think about colors and how you feel and what sentiment is considered?
Yeah, we had a good chat about this. Marina had the idea and was like, "Oh, I think there's a link between how the tone of the song, if you like, and the colors that are mentioned." And I'm sure Marina will talk a little bit more about that. But I should say that I made Marina listen to all of the songs again, and as the experts kind of encode whether there was like a positive or negative sentiment based on being a fan. With a lot more kind of knowledge around, you can automate these things. You could do the boring thing and chuck it through a dictionary, and it assigns it some kind of, positive or negative or neutral idea. But of course, there's loads of layers in these things. And who's better than an absolute expert in the form of Marina to be like, I'm going to listen to this and code it all myself.
Yeah, because I came to Charlotte and I said, there's an issue here is that I'm trying to get the rate for each color, but it's giving us funny results like Shake It Off, which is one of her, most positive, empowering songs. It's getting such a negative score because she says the hater's gonna hate, 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 20 times. So every time hate, she says hate, it just lowers the score of the song. And I was telling Charlotte, how am I going to classify if a color as positive, negative, or neutral if this is what, it's using the dictionary values? And then Charlotte said, oh, you could ask an expert. You were the expert. And I was like, oh my God, of course I am. I could actually. I have been a fan for most of my life. So I can actually do this arduous test of, task of listening to every single song again. Oh my gosh, it's terrible.
Yeah, really arduous task I made you do that.
Terrible.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, you also mentioned in your paper that you had some automation of this processing, that it was it you would look at lyrics maybe a line at a time, and somehow that was being aggregated over the entire song?
That's right. Yeah, and then each song would have an average score based on each line. Each line had a different score, a separate score, and then there'll be the average for the song. Yeah, that's right.
And then did you compare that type of rating to your kind of general, aggregate gestalt sense of what was going on with that?
I did. So I did it using two different, I think one was called Read R, a package on R, and the other one was Sentiment R. And I ended up using Sentiment R because it was more similar to how I would have rated the song. Yeah, it didn't make it to the paper because it's too much to do. But yeah, I did compare that.
You're listening to Stats and Stories, and we're talking about Taylor Swift colors and outfits and songs and sentiment with Marina Klemm and Charlotte Jones Todd. As you did this analysis, there was a second component. There was the color of the outfit and the songs that were performed as well. So did you find any connection between what kind of outfit was being worn and the nature of kind of the sentiment of the song?
We did. It was not significant in the stat sense, but it was a negative correlation. So what that means is that she would come with a happier collar that she has and a dress, and she would sing the saddest song and the other way around. So that it's another surprise aspect of it. So we found that reds and blues were the saddest colors that she mentions in songs, and colorful shades or yellows and greens were the happier colors. So that's what we were expecting. So we were saying that, okay, the green and the yellow dress, or the dresses that mix shades of colors. There would be, she would be singing the set of songs. And when she's wearing the pink dress, which is in the reds, and the blue dress, that's when she would be singing the happiest songs because they're the saddest colors in her lyrics.
So yeah, there was a wee bit of kind of stats, I guess, to get there. We were talking a little bit earlier about the sentiment of the colors that Taylor Swift mentions in her songs. And after Marina going through and kind of encoding whether they were positive or negative, we were kind of attributed, if you like the color. She generally mentions these colors when she's talking about happy things or fun things. And then finding that she, as you said, kind of wore those colors of dresses when she was singing her sadder songs, was kind of cool. I think that's something again that's spoken, or I think I've heard people mention again, like the tone of songs can be usually married up with really sad lyrics. It might sound happy, but that's going beyond my knowledge of music here. But it was kind of interesting to see that that was reflected in her use of color as well.
Yeah, it's fun to think about that there might be this sort of mixed message of outfit running counter to the sentiment of a song. That was a neat observation. It'd be fun to see if that continues.
I think she's kind of you were we were talking the other day, Marina, and you were saying that like the way that she's mentioning color is kind of changing as well, right?
I can give some examples of ways she addressed colors in her lyrics throughout the years, and if to give you an idea, if you think that's useful. So she has a very famous album called Red. So throughout the album, she mentions red many, many, many times. That was in 2012, and there's a lyric in the self-titled song Red that she says, "Losing him was blue like I never knew. Missing him was dark gray all along, but loving him was red, burning red." Just think about this burning red. 7 years later, in the album Lover, she has a song called Daylight, where she says, "I once believed that love could be black and white, but it's golden. I once believed that love could be burning red, but it's golden." So this to me feels like it's almost like she's name dropping the person, because she's saying, in 2012, I said, "Oh yeah, love is burning red." But in 2019, she says, "I used to think love was burning red, but it's golden. So now my new muse is golden." And throughout Lover, she also mentions blue a lot of times in terms of loving. So, "I'm with you even if it makes me blue. My heart's been borrowed and yours has been blue. I blew things out of proportion, now you're blue. And it's blue the feeling I got." These are four different songs that she mentions blue and the new muse. So this new muse is blue and golden. So the Lover album has this like feeling of I'm falling in love, but it also hurts. There's this incompatibility, maybe. There's all these blue references. And blue ended up being one of her saddest colors. But in this new album, which was really, I couldn't believe that happened. It was just when the paper was about to be published, we were able to sneak that in the paper, just a final sentence, because in the Life of a Showgirl, her latest album, she has a song called Honey, which is for her now fiance, Travis Kelce. And she says, "You redefined all of those blues when you say honey. By the paint in the color of your eyes, and graffiti might hold them life, honey." So does that mean that blue is a good thing now? Because you redefined it all my blues, and it's the color of your eyes. So just paint everything blue. It's not sad anymore. It's just a happy color.
Well, it is clear that context is important to try to do an analysis like this. There is deep. I'm witnessing deep knowledge here and deep research. This is very, very impressive. I love that the dimensions of this that you've been exploring as part of this project. You also had a component here where you thought, can I predict the sentiment of a song by looking at the dress color that was being worn? Can you talk a little bit about how you approach that?
So for that we automated the sentiment of each song itself with the sentiment R package on R, and that will give you the average rating for the song. And then looking at the lyrics, that's all the scoring that I did. That the extra work, that unfortunate extra work that I had to do, was to go through every single mention of color. I think it was 180 individual mentions of color, and I scored them myself, saying, is it positive, is it negative, or is it neutral? So I have some examples. So, for example, positive, She would say, "You paint me a blue sky, then go back and turn it to rain." So blue sky, you paint me a happy sky, and then you turn it to rain. But blue here is a positive. Neutral, when she says, "Drowning in the Blue Nile, he sent me downtown lights." Blue Nile is the name of the band, so it's just a neutral. There's no good or bad. It's just a descriptive, a negative, and it's blue, the feeling I got. This is from Cruel Summer, so there's that dread, the falling in love, and but that's the blue feeling that I got. So that's a negative. So I just went through the arduous task of rating 180 of those mentions, and then I got if the song was positive, if the color was positive, negative, or neutral. And Charlotte, do you want to talk about how we compared them?
Yeah, and then we sort of after we got kind of got these scores, we were looking at what I guess overall what was attributed to that group of colors, and to see, well, linking back to what we're talking about, was she going to, or could we say based on the average sentiment of when she mentions these songs, is that going to be linked to her kind of wearing them a little bit later on? But I guess more interesting than, well, to me, more interesting than just the kind of prediction of what she might or could wear next was looking at these kind of colors overall, or the mentions, the distribution, if you like, of the mentions. So where they were they mainly attributed with positive sentiment or negative sentiment? And as Marina's kind of talked about, they had a couple of different meanings in different places. But using things like, the number of times that they were attributed to either being positive, negative, or neutral, was that more or less than we might expect? So we kind of have the stats term would be like the equivalent of a chi-squared test. And then we did a little bit more on that, but kind of saying, okay, based on we might expect under the boring hypothesis, if you like, the null hypothesis, which is the fancy term, where nothing potentially interesting is going on, we would expect there to be equal mentions across these positive, negative, or neutral. And by using stats, we can kind of infer whether they were more likely to be negative or positive mentions. And then going on from that, we could kind of make up this, I guess. That was the fancy term, is kind of reduced exit space. But aside from that, it's essentially just thinking about the associations between colors based on whether they were positive or negative. And so you kind of saw these groupings of all of these different colors. And to say, I think we've got like blues and reds, as Marina said, were kind of lumped together because they were often or more likely mentioned in terms of negative sentiment. And then you've got the colourfuls or the greens and the blues were kind of more positive. But looking at the associations across them together was kind of cool for me, rather than just saying, oh, she more likely mentions blue and it's negative. But kind of looking at that in line with all of the other colors and how they might fit in this cool color plot, which was interesting.
I thought it was really, really neat that you also contributed some tools for the fans to explore these data. So you set up some information on GitHub. You also set up a Shiny app so that people could build their own playlists. Can you tell us a little bit about some of these other resources for fans that you put out there?
I loved, as I mentioned, I loved hunting for Easter eggs throughout, her lyric books or her music videos. So I thought a fan like me reading this that might not like sets, but they might stay for the Easter eggs. So throughout the text, there's a lot of lyrics there that you might not notice if you're not a fan, but there's a lot, every paragraph has at least one mention of a song that you might not necessarily notice. But I also, because I have this huge metadata spreadsheet that I thought, who's going to download a spreadsheet? It's a bit boring to look at. I mean, I like it, but for other fans, that what is more relatable? So I made this Shiny app to create a playlist. So you choose. I have many columns of data, so the sentiment of the song on, or who the fans most likely think the muse is, or what color of dress she was wearing in the Eras store. And I just made this just a few drop down menus that you can choose, and you can create a playlist. Oh, so all the songs that she was wearing a pink dress on, or all the songs about heartbreak, or all the songs that about betrayal, and you just have a list of them to add to your playlist if you like.
And I think it was based on, it sounds like all the, there's a massive kind of boards of putting strings in between all of these different concepts that's kind of we've talked about. And so I think it was a good fun to give tools to people who might be able to use it. Either they can download the data and have a play in any software they want if they want to, or the kind of GUI kind of tools that Marina made, which is really fun. I've actually used some of the examples in my classes. I teach a biostatistics class, which is obviously really related to Taylor Swift. But they've had to play around with the data as well and learn a little bit about Markov chains and hypothesis testing. So yeah, I think it's out there for people to use in any which way they would like.
So I'm curious, have you heard from any Swifties about the significance article?
I have heard from another Brazilian Swiftie because we are big fans. We are professional fans. And she also published a paper on using Taylor Swift music videos to teach botany. So cool. We are professional fans. If you go to any band on Facebook or social media, there's always someone saying, "Come to Brazil." Always. We are professional fans. Yeah, but I posted it on Reddit. And there were a lot of comments and a lot of people that teach stats. They were happy to see that, and they were happy to see that it's a fan doing, because I was using the terms that we use, the fans use the colors of the dresses. I use the name that the fans use on the Reddit posts. So they were really happy that it was, there was something coming from it.
Okay, so what's next? What's the next analysis that was it's going to follow up this work?
We've got to wait for like at least another few albums, right? So Taylor Swift needs to she needs to up her game a bit.
I'm
Well,
very curious about the colors and to see if she, yeah, if they changed meaning. Who knows what's gonna happen now?
I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this episode of Stats and Stories. Marina and Charlotte, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Stats and Stories is a partnership between the American Statistical Association and Miami University's Departments of Statistics and Media Journalism and Film. You can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or other places where you find podcasts. If you'd like to share your thoughts on our program, send your email to statsstories@amstat.org or check us out at statsandstories.net. Be sure to listen for future editions of Stats and Stories, where we discuss the statistics behind the stories and the stories behind the statistics.